We're on a series on humility, and we just have two more messages on humility. And so we want to thank those who have given me some books the last week. I have a book on heaven from Helen and a book on hell at the same time. It's been very interesting reading. And the book of heaven is interesting in that the Lord is, I believe in these last days, God is speaking to a lot of little individuals whom he raised up with one voice and one purpose only. And that is to reveal to them something of the spirit world, put it in a book, and send it out to the body of Christ so that the body of Christ will be prepared for the last days. I believe this is only the beginning. And God will tell more and more of his people, individuals in the last days, to tell them about things that are coming, so that we would be ready for the end times and what God has. Today's message is going to be on, I call, the fear of God, because it relates to humility. Remember the scripture that we read last week in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, it tells us, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. In the scripture that you heard read just now in the communion on the First Peter, that says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We need to recognize that for one to humble oneself, one needs to recognize God as a great and mighty God, an awesome God. In our generation, in modern Christianity, we know so much about the love of God, and the freeness of salvation, that sometimes you take the love of God for granted. Sometimes you take the salvation of God for granted. And I like to bring to your attention that throughout the past 2,000 years of Christianity, it's only in the last 100 years that Christians have assumed once saved, always saved. During the early days of Christianity, they realized that salvation is a price so greatly paid. And they treasure it. To be born again, to have the privilege of coming to have your sins forgiven and being cleansed from your past and sins and coming into God was such a privilege that they're willing to die for the Lord. They're willing to lay down their lives for the Lord. They're willing to give up everything in this life just to be saved. But something in modern Christianity has caused the love of God to be taken for granted. Only in the past 100 years have once saved, always saved been prominent. So that many people think that, oh, you know, I accept Christ, I got a ticket to heaven, that's it, I can live my own life. Not everyone who comes to the altar and pray the sinner's prayer may be born again. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't talk about the tares among the wheat. Jesus did say that there are those who don't really know God in the midst of those who know God. Not me saying it, Jesus said it. In the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told about the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, that is the devil, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, Then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First, gather together the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there are tares with the wheat. Now, in the Apostle Paul's time, he recognized that within the churches that he planted, he says in the book of Acts, chapter, let's look at Acts chapter 20. Yes, Acts chapter 20. As he was exhorting the Ephesian Christian, remember they had a revival in Ephesus, and they have a lot of converts, and there was a tremendous power of God released. They saw special miracles in Acts 19 in the city of Ephesus. And here he's talking to the leaders of Ephesus as they gather in a place at Miletus, as Paul gave his last final speech to them before he went forth into what he called the prison ministry, and where he knew he was going to be captured and imprisoned. In Acts chapter 20, among those things he says in verse 29, For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So he's speaking about tares among the wheat, wolves in sheepskin among the sheep. This is the situation that will exist until Jesus comes in his second coming. Sometimes we think that, oh, it's easy to tell, you know, tell the tares on the wheat. It's not always easy. It's easy when it's clear cut that someone doesn't believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But sometimes a person may not sincerely believe but knows all the language of Christianity. They learn the language. I mean, you may have seen in some modern movies, they even talk about Jesus Christ, but you know they don't believe him. They even talk about salvation in Jesus, but they don't believe him. Some of you may have faced people like that. I remember in the early days of ministry when we were in Penang, Malaysia, and we used to have a house called the Mission House, and we stay inside there. And we used to take in people who have different types of needs. One day there was this person who showed up on the door, and he quoted from the gospel, Son of man has no place to lay his head on. And he's talking about him, he's referring to himself, he doesn't have a place to stay. He took the person in to stay, and this person was a drug addict, and in the end, this person took a radio recorder, few other things, and disappeared. And for the love of hospitality, this person repay with evil by taking things away. I don't think this person is really born again. Now, most Christians are generous and they say, oh, you know, he probably born again and, you know, just not living right. But remember, just as you can be positive and say, it is possible the person is just using Christianity for their own end and may not truly be born again. Then we come to the question, what do we mean by born again? Come on, when a person is born again, there must be some fruit somewhere. I'm not asking for lots and lots and tons of fruit where you're so holy, you know, and so Christ-like. all of us are on the way there, but there need to be some fruit at least. Some sort of evidence that you love God. You know God. And some of us are so cultured that we never meet people in the rough and tough. You don't know what it's like down there. And we were visiting the prison yesterday. And we were talking about this subject, about those who really know God and those who really don't know God. And some people pretend that they know God. And they will find out that, and you find out in eternity that they are lost. And it's a terrible thing to be lost. And Frank was sharing about how he's witnessing in prison. And then he tried to tell them about Jesus. And about Jesus' salvation and redemption. And then some of the prisoners, these are rough and tough guys, some of the prisoners say, what must we do? Pray the sinner's prayer. And he says, okay. And then he prayed the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, and after all those things, he says, all right, I'll go and do my stuff now. And he's going to go back to do his own things. So the question is, was the guy really born again? And remember, this guy don't mind praying the sinner's prayer every day. And then going and doing his own thing. He has come to the stage where the sinner's prayer is just a ceremony. And that's how bad it is outside. And if you've ever been into the rough places, you realize people need something more powerful. Some revelation of God in their heart. A true gospel going forth to change their life. You need the power of God. The gospel to go with power to change people's lives. But let's get back to our topic here. And those are illustrations that I share to tell us that out there, where the rubber hits the road, in the hard places of life, then you realize that, you know, Christianity and being a Christian, there is a lot of difference between knowing Christ, loving Christ, being saved, and just simply, Jesus loves me, that's it. And I got a ticket to heaven, and that's it. And you live the rest of your life in sin. I question whether the person really knows Jesus. I question that. Only in the last 100 years do we stop questioning that. And let me bring to you a theological history and foundation that we have for 1,900 years of church history. In the writings of the early church fathers, there is no such thing as one safe, always safe. It's possible that one lose one's salvation when one turn away from Jesus and there's no more return. In the Bible, we know it's possible. Sin against the Holy Spirit, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and those in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 6, those who turn away from God after knowing God. Hebrews chapter 10, those who willfully sin. Well, let me read that verse there. So we know that what we are saying is biblical. Because sometimes our modern Christianity need to be shaken a bit. We've taken the love of God for granted. In the book of Acts chapter 10, we are told here in verse 26, for if we sin willfully. Now this is... It's not just the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that caused one to lose salvation. We know the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is one. And then there's those who turn away from Christ in the book of Hebrews 6 after knowing different levels of knowledge. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. There is willful sin where one knows that this is going to cause hurt to Jesus. This is a sin that Jesus Christ died to redeem us from, and they turn back to it like a dog returning to its vomit, a pig returning to wallow in the mud. That is not the way God wants it. And modern Christianity has taken it so lightly, once saved, always saved, which is not a scriptural doctrine.